So Christian shared Acts 2:22 through 47. A healthy church. Now these passages explain, 10 points by the way. Christian did pretty good there. These passages explain how the early church in Acts was born, what it looked like, and really the definition or the results of a healthy church. Let's just turn there real quick for a quick review. Nothing else for me since I was gone. Acts chapter 2. And we're not just going to look at, let's just look starting at verse 42. In verse 42, I see right away four different points that Christian had explained. And you know, as Christian explained them, I had to ask myself, am I living this out? Because I seen, in just in 42, it asked, are we devoted to studying our Bibles each and every day? Also, it asked, are we in fellowship with other believers? And in verse 42, it said, are you observing the Lord's Supper, sharing meals with other? By the way, today we will have communion. And the last one, again, in this verse was, are you in prayer? So they started there. But then you can continue on to verses 43 through 47. And we see the result, I think, of a church that has followed these four instructions. So look here, I'm not going to read them all, but just look at verses 43 and on. And you see first, you see that they, in verse 43, that they witnessed many miracles. Then in 44 through 46, you see that everyone was provided for. In 46 also, we see they worshiped together in unity. Then in 46, there was joy and generosity. 47, they praised God. You ready for 47? They enjoyed each other. Everybody enjoys each other. Another one in 47, it says, each day we see that people received the gift of Jesus and came to the Lord. I kind of saw this, and Christian taught on this, and it's kind of like a checklist in a way. You look at first, though, as you look at these seven things. He had 10, I had 11, but you know. You look at these seven things that we just went, and you say, can you say yes to each one of these seven things? And if you can't say yes, maybe you should look at the previous verse, 42, and examine these other four things. So as again, we see a biblical model for personal and, I believe, church growth. Again, Christian, thank you. It was a great teaching about a healthy church and really our own personal walk, what it should look like for us as Christians. Now, most of you all know, as I shared, I went to the States, but part of going to the States, I don't know if you all knew, I went to a pastor's conference in the East Coast, and there was 1,600 pastors and leaders in the one conference in the sanctuary at one time. It's a huge auditorium sanctuary, and it was amazing as they sang, and they worshiped, and just all the fellowship and the camaraderie that was there. And it was interesting as the main speakers, I was the main speakers on a for a missions part on Saturday, but then on the other 3 days, it was the pastor's conference. And it was interesting, of all the main speakers, I think every one of them that was speaking had 50 years apiece in ministry as a pastor. And it was amazing to listen to them and just hear from them, 50 years each. They had a lot more gray hair than me, but it was neat. And I actually got to spend a lot of time with actually most of the main speakers. They wanted to talk about Asia and what's going on here with Calvary Chapel. So I had a lot of lunches and a lot of meetings. As I said, there's a lot of interest in what's happening here in Asia. But the theme that I took out of the conference that I went to there, I believe really is the Holy Spirit spoke to me through the different teachings, was simply this: to trust God, to simply teach the word, and to love his church. Sounds simple, right? Trust God, simply teach his word, and love his church. And I'll tell you, though, I don't know about all of you. A lot of you I see are in different ministries. I found myself throughout the years trying at times to rely on my own abilities and believing that even that myself would have the means to build his church. And I'm guilty, but I was reminded that I just need to be faithful. I need to be faithful to teach the word, love God's people, and trust God. That's what we need to do if we're in ministry. God's going to provide in every single which way, whatever that looks like. We need to be faithful to do what he's called us to do. And we see that in verse 42 as it begins. It's amazing here in Acts, right? We're learning what a church should be, and we're given this example. And, you know, it's pretty simple. It's actually pretty simple. A lot of people really complicate it. Well, today we're going to be in Acts chapter 3, and I got to ask you a question, because I do it every time. So does the person today, that you are today, make others question how they can be full of joy and hope? And also, second part, does your testimony bring others to seek change that brings faith through Jesus? Does your testimony bring others to seek change that brings faith through Jesus? After you meet a person, especially a non-believer, what's their reaction? Do they see something different in you? Do they see Jesus? Now today we are going to take communion together. And all that are here that have repented of their sins and placed their faith in Jesus are invited to join. A lot of people ask, do you have to be a member or what's that look like? If you have placed your faith in Jesus and repented of your sins and you're here today, you're invited to join. Although I will read 1 Corinthians 11:28-29. It says, this is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring your body of Christ, you're eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. So I ask you that during the message, and then we're going to have a time of worship and reflection afterwards, just pray. Pray that the Holy Spirit would reveal to you any sin that you may have in your life that maybe you need to repent of, that's crept in. Or maybe if there's anything in your life that has came between your relationship between you and God, or maybe even between your relationship between you and others, if it's your spouse or your kids or your family, whatever that would be, let's just make sure and be in prayer and repent of anything that we need to repent of. And also, maybe if there's anything that we need to forgive others of also. Let's just, during the message, pray the Holy Spirit would speak to us. And during that time, let's just surrender that to God before we take communion together. So really an examination. Has everyone got your Bibles? There's a few hands. All right. Acts chapter 3, we're going to begin with the first three verses. Acts chapter 3. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. So as we begin these passages immediately in Acts, we see an interaction. As Peter and John were heading into the temple to pray, they're walking along, and they're really confronted by this lame man, and he's there begging for money. Now, I guess before we get into this lame man, we should maybe just look at a little bit of context. In the Jewish temple, I don't know if you knew, I didn't know until years ago when I was studying, that there was actually prayer services 3 times a day. And they would do this after the sacrifices. They would also, there would be a blessing or an offering to the Lord, and there would be a time of prayer and singing and worship. Now, these two disciples were heading in to this midday prayer service to worship Jesus. Now, even though we know that they weren't required necessarily to do this because Jesus had fulfilled the law in his resurrection and his death, but here they chose this place, the temple, to go in, to pray, to worship. Now, maybe also while they were there and worshiping Jesus, they'd be able to share with their Jewish brothers that was there about Jesus. I'm not really sure, but I don't know about you guys, but I can kind of relate to this at times. I don't know about you guys. Coming, say, to a church during the week just to spend some time in the Word and in prayer. Now, I know that I can read my Bible at home. I can listen to my Bible in my car. I can pray anytime and every time. In fact, we're to be continually in prayer all the time. But I think also it's really nice to have a place where you can just go and sit and read the Word and be in prayer. And I want you guys to know that this church, if you ever want a place just to come and spend some quiet time with Jesus and study in the Word and being in prayer, These doors, just give me a call. If you don't have the code, we'll get you in, and you can just come here and spend some time with the Lord. I know, again, it's not that we have to come here to do that, but sometimes it's nice just to come to a place that you're not distracted by all the other things around the world. For me, if I'm at my house, I'm thinking about all the other things going on in my house. If I come here, I'm usually not as distracted, except when there's a light bulb out or something. But yes. Again, I want to invite anyone here. If you ever wanted a place just to come spend some time with Jesus and want prayer, these doors are open. It's your guys' church, right? It's the point of the church. So look back at the passage. We see here that, let's look at the people. Let's talk about this lame man. Now we read that in the passages that this was from birth. This wasn't something that had been done or, you know, an accident that had happened. He was born lame from birth. Now, really, it's interesting. This is really, we don't know a lot about the man. All we know about the man, that he was a lame man. All that it says that the others in the story really knew about him was he was a lame man and he was unable to walk. If you were to read forward into chapter 4, you would see his age. He's about 40 years old. So we do know that he's endured this physical disability now for a very long period in his life. And you think about this. I mean, this man, I'm sure his life was would seem pretty hopeless, with no real hope of another life. There was really, at this point for him, I'm sure there was no hope of a healing or a restoration. I'm sure he thought he was just pretty much, he was bound in this hopelessness, and this was his life. Which is a sad story when you think about it. But I do see a direct acknowledgement to the word, and to our world today. I don't know, do you see an analogy there? I do see an analogy. Because if we think about this way in his how he's paralyzed, how he was lame, and you think about sin, just as this man in this story was born into this life, by no fault of his own, we also are born into sin. This man did nothing. He was born. Just as we are born. A life of sin. Romans 5:12 says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Just as this man couldn't overcome his physical disability, we also cannot overcome sin on our own. In fact, he knew and we know it would have taken a miracle. It would have taken an act of God to restore him, and it takes an act of God to restore us to a life of hope. Now, it's interesting. This man's great hope in this story was very small. It was simply that he could maybe receive a little bit of money. So let's see what I believe Jesus would do for him. Let's look at verses 4 through 6. Peter and John looked at him intently. And Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazarene, get up and walk." What a beautiful picture. You know, as I read this and I look at the verse, I really think that Peter was convicted or spoken to by the Holy Spirit in this case. I mean, you think about this crippled man, I'm sure, as he sat there asking every person that would come by for money. And I'm sure as they walked in, Peter and John, they weren't alone. There were other people around going to the prayer time. And many people walking, heading to the temple to pray. Now this place he was begging would have been a very common place for a lame person or a beggar to be. And I'm sure there was even other beggars around, present in the general area. It was a perfect place to beg, you think about it. I mean, right before a person goes into the temple to pray, or as they're leaving the temple, there's a beggar asking for money. You know, it's interesting, I've seen it, and we read stories in our Bible, and not much has changed as we maybe would think. I have seen this exact situation many times. I remember in Myanmar specifically, in the churches downtown, right at the gates to inside the church, there would be people lined up and sitting there, and even on mats, and lame person sitting there begging for the people as they'd come into church and as they'd leave church. I'm out there just hoping someone that was going to church would give them some money. Now, I don't see it out here, but I think it's probably still common in many parts of the world. It's not uncommon. We are kind of out in the outskirts, but you never know. So this man's hope, again, the biggest hope he saw and is asking is just to receive some money. And that was really the greatest hope he had, is just to get a little money. And I think about the analogy to that to all of us today and how true that can be. That many people that we see in the world today, their greatest hope simply goes no further than receiving the physical things of this world. Just to receive a little money. It's kind of sad. I really think it's really sad. Let's continue and look at 7 and 8. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. As he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. Now we know, but I want to be very clear, it wasn't the power of Peter that healed this man. Peter himself states in verse 6, it was in the name of Jesus that this man was healed. Peter makes sure that everyone then, and I believe today, understands that it was Jesus who had healed this man. It wasn't man's power. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. It was common, actually, it's interesting, you look at it, it's common in that time in Peter's days that there would be pagan healers. We have them today, even around here. There's people that say they can heal, like pagan healers. But they would call upon different gods. But we see Peter very directly, this is in Jesus' name, to be very clear who it was and what was taking place. Peter called on Jesus. Now, as we look at verses 7 through 8, I see a progression, really. And it's interesting, as this man was healed, I see a progression. The first one I see here is he was helped up, and he took and grabbed the hand that was extended towards him. Second, after accepting this invitation, he was then healed. Then, as he was raised up, basically standing before God, he was restored. He was healed. Then, he began to walk. In this transformation that has taken place, this healing that had taken place, then this progressed into worship, leaping, jumping, praising God, going into the temple, and then holding tight to others, we would even see. It was a progression, and there was a result of his healing. Let's see what's going to happen in 9 through 10. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was a lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astonished. They all rushed out in amazing to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. So this obviously drew attention of the people. This man is now testifying and praising God. And all the people there, that they knew who this man was. A crippled man. This same crippled man that was without hope. But now this crippled man is healed and he's in the temple and he's dancing and he's praising God that he had been healed. He had been restored. You know, as I studied these passages, one commentary I read from John MacArthur said that you saw 4 points concerning this miracle. Now there's a lot of facts about this miracle that we see that we can apply to our life and miraculous things that happen today. The first one, John MacArthur says, is the first, it was very unexpected, right? No one planned or thought this was going to happen. The second was that it was done in the name of Jesus. No other explanation was given or needed. The third, I like this one. This one's important. It was instantaneous. There was no go home and wait or do this and you will be healed. God through the Holy Spirit willed it and it was done. He was healed. And the fourth leads to the same. It was complete and total healing. This man was not halfway healed, but he was fully restored without exception. So again, I see an analogy, an example of what happens to us, that when a person repents and comes to faith, I see the exact same thing. Maybe there's even some here that have not placed their faith in Jesus. You know, the first one we see is nobody knows the exact moment when they'll come to faith and place their faith in Jesus, just like this miraculous healing. The second one, we see it's through Jesus and what he has done, and in his name that we are saved. And once we came to faith in Jesus, we also are instantaneously restored. And our sins, and the fourth one, are completely wiped clean forever. Complete. Now, it's amazing when you read this and you see this analogy between this man and the healing and that took place. And I praise the Lord for what he did for this man, but also what he's done for each one of us, because he's done the same for each one of us. And if you're sitting here today and you're listening and you're wondering about this, maybe you haven't accepted Jesus, maybe today's the day to do something unexpected. Maybe today is the day that you could place your faith in Jesus. And if you'd like to receive that gift, please, after the service, during the worship, come up and let's pray together. And if you have questions about what that looks like, come and ask. We'd love to talk to you to become a child of God through faith and have your inheritance in God's kingdom. So Peter has something he must do after seeing all of this. Let's look at 12 through 15. Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. "People of Israel," he said, "what is so surprising about this? And why stare at us as though we had made this man walk on our own power or godliness? For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our ancestors, who have brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this." This is the same Jesus who you handed over and rejected before Pilate, despite Pilate's decision to release him. You rejected this holy, righteous one, instead demanded the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are a witness of this fact. Now, I love this. We never, ever, ever want to miss an opportunity, right? He jumps on this opportunity to glorify God, to preach. Peter steps up and gives credit where it was due and shares Jesus. And now, again, that's the first thing he does. He begins making sure this is about Jesus. And everyone knows and saw, and he's clear that this restoration was through the resurrection of Jesus and no other means. And I like that. That's the first thing he explains. Then he goes on, especially knowing his audience, these Jewish people, and that Jesus is being glorified, and that God they worship, the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And continuing explaining, this was Jesus, the one that Pilate rejected, with Pilate and themselves and the Jewish people. So he's going to continue on in verse 16. Let's look at that. "Through faith in the name Jesus, this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes." So Peter is going to continue to preach to them, explaining really to them, but I believe also just to us, how this man was healed. And how, at the same time, each one of us can be saved today. Faith in Jesus' name healed him. The same as today. It's through faith in Jesus' name, who he is, and what he does, that each one of us can be healed. This man was changed. He was a different man. And they all knew, all the people there watching knew something miraculous had taken place. What an example for us. It goes back to the title of my message. Something had changed, something was different, and everyone took notice. So let's see what Peter has to say about this more in 17 all the way through 23. "Friends, I realize that what you and your leaders did to Jesus was done in ignorance, but God was fulfilling what all the prophets had foretold about the Messiah, that he must suffer these things. Now, repent of your sins and turn to God so your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. And he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah, for he must remain in heaven until the time of the final restoration of all things, as God promised long ago through his holy prophets. Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. Listen carefully to everything he tells you.' Then Moses said, 'Anyone who will not listen to that prophet will be completely cut off from God's people.'" So God knew all things. He knew everything. He knew all that they had done, right? As he's speaking to them right there. He knows all that each one of us have done. He also even knows what each of us are going to still do. Yet, he still loves us. And that's what I see here. God knew, and he still loves them, and he loves us. Now, God asked, will you turn from this life? Will you turn from your sins? So I see here in these passages, you see an example, again, of it's the gospel. You see your sins wiped away. You see times of refreshment that will come from the presence of the Lord, which I believe he's speaking of the Holy Spirit. God's very presence living within us and giving us comfort. He also says in these passages that he will again send you Jesus, the appointed Messiah, to take us to receive our inheritance in heaven. Now, Peter is speaking likely to his Jewish brothers. But again, that's why he reminds them of Moses' words and showing them that he is speaking of Jesus. But all this applies just to us today also. Let's close up with the last few verses for today. Let's look at 24 through 26. Starting with Samuel, every prophet spoke about what is happening today. You are the children of those prophets, and you are included in the covenant God promised to your ancestors. For God said to Abraham, through your descendants, all the families on earth will be blessed. When God raised up his servant Jesus, he sent them first to your people Israel to bless you by turning each of you back from your sinful ways. So again, Peter knows who he's talking to. He continues to take these Jewish people back to the prophets, proving through their teaching that Jesus is the Messiah. Now you look again, look at verse 26. I love this part. It says, to bless you by turning each of you back from your sinful ways. Now I believe most people of the world today would see leaving behind the things of the world as a loss. But here we see that it's spoken as a blessing. You know, for often I need to be reminded of that. To leaving the things behind of the world as a blessing. Because often when these things are leaving us, it doesn't seem like a blessing. It seems like a loss. But he's clear here. Warren Wiersbe says here, it's easy to see in this man an illustration of what salvation is like. He was born lame. All of us are born unable to walk so as to please God. The title of this message was Change That Brings Faith. Now, would this statement describe your walk as a Christian? As you look at your own self, as we examine, is there a change in your life that would bring others to faith? We're all called to walk out our lives as Christian, to proclaim what Jesus has done for each and every one of us. The lame man in the story we see was lifted up, then he stood up, then he jumped up, he walked, he leaped, he praised God in such a way that everyone saw him and knew there was a miraculous healing. And they were able to go share Jesus. They took that opportunity immediately to share Jesus. You know, every one of us is an ambassador for Christ. Ambassador for Jesus. So what are we proclaiming? Are you proclaiming who Jesus is? We're going to take communion here. We're going to start passing that out in just a few minutes. And I just ask that we always take this time to first look back and reflect on what Jesus has done for us, who he was. We also took time to examine ourselves. And I see in this story, this example of this lame man, that when he was healed, his life was such radically changed, the people looked upon him and knew something was different. And then Peter immediately saw that and steps up and says, it was Jesus. It was Jesus. And he preached. And I think that often in our times we get so busy that maybe people just see us as another person in the world. This man was jumping, he was dancing, he was skipping around in excitement for Jesus. And yeah, coming back from the conference, I was kind of reminded that we simply need to go out there and be that example that's there. And people should see that joy in our lives. They should see something different. And if they're not seeing something different, it goes back to the message last week, right? It goes back to that first four things. Are we in the Word? Are we in prayer? Are we in fellowship? Are we in communion? So as Laura comes up, I'm going to pray, and they're going to pass out communion, and then we'll take communion together in a few minutes. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time just to study your Word as we see this amazing example, a salvation message, an example of a man who was healed, as each one of us sitting here today have been healed. As we have each, just as this man, have been lifted up, pulled from the depths that we were in, the depths of hopelessness, and restored to a right relationship before you. And Lord, each one of us, Lord, should be like this man, full of joy, dancing, skipping, praising you. And Lord, I know that each one of us, Lord, we get caught up in the world so easily, and sometimes we forget what you've done for us. It's so easy just to go year after year and decade after decade, but just to go back to remember what it was like as a brand new baby Christian, just wanting to share with the world, wanting everyone you meet to know. So Lord, I just pray for all that are here today that we would just fall in love with you and the people would see something different in each one of us. Lord, as we get ready to take communion and reflect on who you are and what you've done and who we are, Lord, I just pray if there's anyone here today that has anything they need to repent of, they would just lay that down right now. And Lord, if there's anything in their lives that's not pleasing before you, Lord, you would just speak to them, Lord, and we would just lay that down. Lord, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you yet, Lord, that has not professed you, Lord, I just pray they would just not take the communion, Lord, but just sit there, Lord, and Lord, just, Lord, you would speak to them. You would speak to their hearts. And Lord, if there's anyone here that hasn't, Lord, I just pray, Lord, they would just come forward, Lord, and profess today you as Lord and Savior. So Lord, I just ask right now as we just take a time of reflection, a time of worship, that you would just speak to each one of us. In Jesus' name.